B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. The home run is king, Tyrone. We broadcast from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. I'm going to tell you, home runs are bad for baseball. Last night we were glued to the fact that guys could mash. Like, that home run contest was the most entertaining home run contest I've ever seen. One after another with Vladdy going head-to-head with Jock. And then the winner, ultimately, proving that slow and steady sometimes wins the race. Pete Alonso, the Mets, which has Tyrone Lannister peeved that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. did not win because his total dwarfed Pete Alonso's total. 91 home runs my man hit last night. 91, which tired him out, frankly, for the final round against Pete Alonso. And you had a problem with that, Tyrone.
A major problem, because Jock Peterson and him went on an epic battle. And it was like he was punished for facing having a tougher road. And I don't agree with that. After the first round, they should have reseeded. Then you get a proper final. Imagine that epic round with those two in the final. That's what I want to see for the $1 million.
You do make a lot of sense when it comes to that. And baseball didn't think of that part of it because they didn't think that many home runs were going to be hit. But they should have figured it because the ball's different. You know, I'm watching that thing last night and I'm going, that poor kid from the Athletics had his old man throwing. The old man was gassed. He couldn't throw him a strike. And that kid was out like in the first round. I felt sorry for him. It's all about the batting practice pitcher. Batting practice pitcher puts it like inside and high. That's the perfect spot to hit it out to left field. And in right field, says, well, the left-handers like it low and in. But Jock Peterson was hitting high balls out there last night, too. I had Jock Peterson and Pete Alonso.
You did.
In two of my final three that I thought would win it. And Alonso winds up winning it. I've got no problem with it.
Yeah, I do. First of all, I lost money on it.
Oh, you did? You bet Vladdy?
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, there it comes.
Yeah, I lost money on it.
Vladdy Jr., you bet him.
I bet him. And it looked real good until it didn't. And I think that they need to make some tweaks. This is another thing in baseball.
Here we go. We need tweaks.
That needs just a tweak, an overhaul. I'm
glad you brought this up because we're going to talk about tweaks today. Because last night again exemplified the perfection of baseball, where all these people complaining there's too many home runs, like in the NBA, there's too many dunks, or there's too many 3-point shots. So we'll try to work on that too, right? Too many home runs in baseball. That's the most amazing thing to me ever, that they think there's too many home runs in baseball. Well, we're going to go through each sport. Baseball, I believe, I'm tired of picking on baseball, all right? So I know that everybody has your little tweaks who make baseball better. None of them make a bit of sense. So I'm leaving baseball alone today. You want to make a tweak to baseball? Go ahead. But it's falling on deaf ears. I got other fish to fry. I'm going to improve the other sports. There's nobody in the world improves the other sports. Nobody thinks about the other sports needing improvement. It's all about baseball. Oh, my God, it's too slow. Oh, my God, the ball's wound too tight. Oh, my God, there's too many home runs. Oh, my God, the launch angle. How about this and that? I'm tired of it. Leave baseball alone. It's got immunity for one reason. It is Americana. And we should have hands-off respect for Americana. You don't improve the apple pie. You enjoy the apple pie. You don't improve baseball. You enjoy baseball. And you enjoy the home run. Now, there was one oddity in the home run contest. At least for my brain, there was an oddity in home run contest that has nothing to do with actually the guy swinging the bat. And I was going to let people guess it, but Anthony touched on it at the end of his show. Was it surprising to you that when they let the interview of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., no habla inglés? Did that surprise you a little bit?
It surprised me a lot.
Vladdy played 16 years in the big leagues.
He played in California?
He played in Montreal, all right? So maybe you don't learn English in Montreal. Maybe he learned French. I don't know. But then you go to Los Angeles for all those years. And then you go to Texas and you go to Baltimore. Now, I don't know if the kid wasn't living with him or not, but it would seem like, you know, these kids of Latino stars usually grow up as English kids, right?
They usually learn the language. Like Cano.
They learn the language.
Cano's
dad. They go to English schools and they go to high schools and whatever in the town that the guy's playing in.
But you might have just touched on it, though. You can live in parts of California and never speak English. And you can live in parts of Texas and never speak English. Yeah, and we have no clue about. But I was shocked.
I guess. But where's the kid going to school? That's the thing I have to ask. Like, is he gone? Which leads me to believe that he didn't live with his father all those years. Because you have to send him to the schools.
Maybe wanting him to live in the Dominican. I don't know. But it was odd. And a couple times. First of all, I think he speaks English. And I'll tell you why.
Really?
One of the times when she went to answer the question, she asked it, and she said it in English first. And before she got a chance to say it in Spanish, Vladdy started answering in Spanish.
He might have recognized a couple words. But for the most part, see, I actually like it when she asked the question in Espanol, and then she goes English for the audience, which I thought that was really well done. But it surprised me that no habla inglés for Vladdy.
It did.
Junior.
Do you think maybe just because the audience was so big that they did it that way when...
he was nervous to speak in front of that many people?
Yeah, like that just for, you know, timing and clarity purposes, they just did it that way instead of trying to have him speak maybe in, like, broken English?
I was surprised that his father played so long in America that the son didn't speak English. Normally, they speak English quickly. If you're raised in America.
Right.
Because you have to go to school. You have to learn English. So I don't know of any juniors well, I don't know. Maybe there are. Maybe they just don't learn the language. But a junior is more likely to learn the language than the father who first came over.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's generally
all right.
What happens.
All right, so anyway, it's tweak time. And we're also going to look... We're going to talk some NBA as well today because I'm going to go over the starting fives of note for all the teams in the East and West Conference. And you tell me where the Sixers stack up. As it comes to the Phillies, you know, a lot of people are down on the Phillies. But there is an odds that had come out today. The projected total of the teams in Major League Baseball and what number they're going to finish with. Now, if you give the division championships to the Braves, Cubs, and Dodgers, which is pretty likely at this point, you're now looking for two wild card teams. Now, we're under the impression that the Phillies have to really be active at the trade deadline to make their team better, and I still believe they do. But right now, they're projected, with this team they have right now, to win 82 games, which only trails one team. The Nationals are projected to win 86. So that would put the Phillies in the second wild card spot, tied right now with the Brewers. So if that projection was today, the Phillies would play off with the Brewers in a one-game playoff to play the one-game playoff against the Nationals. So they're right there.
Yeah, you are right there. So that means, and the other part is there in that projection, what if Bryce Harper, for example, had a really big month? Like coming out of the All-Star break, he puts together 4 weeks where he's just MVP level.
Yes.
He's playing like Yelich and those guys, which he is capable of doing. They don't account for that. So that tells me that one trade, two trades, a starter and a nominal center fielder, this team can make the playoffs and will make the playoffs if they can do those two things.
They have to add, you're saying.
They just have to add.
See, these projections are with them not adding.
I don't trust it.
So you don't trust it?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about it. In the meantime, other sports I want to tweak. So, like, for instance, in basketball, entirely too many three-pointers. Let's bring the post play back. So we're going to limit a team to taking only 15 threes a game.
Oh, nah, you can't.
Why not?
You can't.
Why?
Teams are shooting 50.
A limit.
You can put
everybody's complaint. Too many three-point shots in the game now. No post play anymore. It's the dribble, drive, kick out three. The basketball's been diluted. No. So there's my solution. No, 15 threes.
That means
there will be a counterboard on the scoreboard.
So that means in baseball you only allow 5 home runs. On the 6th home run, it counts as a double.
I told you that baseball stays the same.
No.
All right?
You can't do that.
No. It's my show.
It is
baseball
your show.
Has immunity.
You can't
I am
do
not
that.
Listening to any more tweaks about baseball. We're going to tweak the other sports because we never do. It's baseball this, it's baseball that. It's baseball hits too many home runs, it's baseball's too slow. It's too many more walks to the mound, it's this, it's that. I'm tired of it. Baseball stays, it's Americana.
That's a ridiculous number.
Basketball, too many threes, 15, that's it. Football, pass interference calls, I hate them. People throw long bombs just to get pass interference. I'm tweaking the rule. You only get half the yardage of a pass interference call.
You still get the automatic first down?
That's the automatic first down. But if you throw a ball like it's 70 yards, you're not going to get 70 yards. You're only going to get 45.
35. I got you.
All right? I hate that rule. I hate the long pass interference. You don't earn those yards because of a call. You shouldn't earn those yards. Some yards, yes, half.
Yeah, I don't like that one either.
Why not?
Because what if I'm about to catch it, and at the last minute, the guy grabs both my arms so I literally can't catch the ball? I would have caught that for 70 yards.
No, you get 35 out of it.
Nah, yes. Because now it behooves the corners to tackle the guy. It does.
You got 35 yards. If your offense is good enough, that's all you get, 35.
The alternative is getting cooked for a touchdown. So they'll teach the corners to just tackle the guy take the half.
Most people love this rule. I can tell. I'm hearing the vibes now. They love my new pass interference rule. And finally, in hockey, empty net for 5 minutes random time during a game.
What?
Yes. To generate more scoring, 5 minutes empty net.
No, you're over. We've
chosen at random.
I think all sports
spun
need
spun by a wheel. All right, halfway through the second period.
That's right, it is.
And then the other team gets their 5-2. And then you got to play damn good defense and get ice to puck. You got to do all that stuff. 5 minutes. It's exciting. No more offense.
You're killing me.
I'm not. That's a sensible rule.
You know what? It is your show. You run with those.
I am. I am so tired of hearing baseball tweaks. I watched a brilliant event last night. I was glued to it. The All-Star Game is tonight. Americana. No more tweaks about baseball. Baseball's perfect. I don't care what anybody says. Go to the damn ballpark. Watch the game. Have a hot dog and a beer. And appreciate the fact that it's a nice time to just sit and do nothing. Mike Missanelli Show, 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's a 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show, and 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Now let's start the Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons, Tensional Landscapers. If you're looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower, Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement. They're in stock. Visit this website, paulbmoyer.com, for details. Miss Natalie Eganoff, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mike. Today's Twitter poll has over 500 votes on it early. Are there too many home runs in baseball? 33% say yes, 67% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. By the way, I'm fresh off a court appearance this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
How'd you,
For what?
Well, it was for a minor fender accident.
Oh, no.
Yes. Where I received a citation for making a left turn onto a certain road, and it was blind oncoming traffic.
Oh.
I will explain this whole thing later, because last night I went into preparation mode.
Right, so you're
attorney prep mode.
You're all lawyered up.
Let me give the T-Mobile TV a little example of what I was doing last night. Let's see, where are we here?
He's down here getting
Here we go. This is my diagram that I worked diligently on last night. Primitive it may be, but effective. As you can see here, this is the traffic pattern. Right, so this is a two-lane road, and you see the bunch of cars here, This is me here.
Okay.
And there's a line of cars here. This guy is making a left turn. I'm making a left turn.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But he's prohibited from making a left turn because of oncoming traffic, and I can't see the oncoming traffic in this particular lane.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Gotcha.
So I have to guess.
Yeah.
And I'm looking through the windshields of these cars to see if I can see any oncoming headlights.
They need a left arrow there.
Well, it's not a light.
Oh, it's not a light?
No, it's not a light.
Oh, my Lord.
No, it's just a road. So I'm making a left onto a road.
Okay.
So, when you're in this situation and you're holding up cars, what invariably do you get?
You
get the beep.
Yeah.
So you get the beep, and give it urgency to make the left because you're holding up all this kind of traffic. Mm-hmm. So I make the left. This person is coming from way over here, as you can see.
Yeah.
And could not have seen me at all, could not have been paying attention, because I was almost through the whole intersection. She clipped the back right bumper.
Oh, then she totally wasn't paying attention.
She totally wasn't paying attention. Yeah. She had plenty of time to either
stop,
slow down, or a little break, because she's coming from here. So she came on a steady stream and clipped me, but I got the ticket.
How fast were you going?
I was just making a turn.
Right.
I was just making
a turn. So she must have been going fast.
Left turn.
Not paying attention.
However, I got the citation.
Oh, no.
And so I will later on the show let you know how that worked. I just wanted to show the diagram.
Great.
Your Honor, as you can see, primitive yet effective. These are cars. You can see the wheels.
They kind of look like penguins.
but you get the idea. You see, I put my car in green as if to say go.
Right. It's a good diagram.
It's a good coloring.
It's a good diagram.
If those were penguins, then it's bird law. And bird law is a whole nother deal.
Sure is.
But I'm watching the home run derby. But I'm more. Look, I get the ruler out.
Oh,
certainly.
It's like to scale. See?
Yeah.
That's nice work.
Different
that's
color sharpies.
Really good work. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, let's go to Sean in Newark. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
What's up, Sean?
Well, originally I called for the last show when they were doing Guys That Quit. I thought they forgot the most famous one, and that was Roberto Duran. But now that you're talking about improvements of sports, I have a couple suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
One is one that I've thought of since I was a little kid. I've always hated shootouts. I always thought that was a stupid way to end a contest after people spent 2 or 3 hours, mm-hmm. Competing with full teams.
Right.
And one suggestion, both hockey and soccer utilize that. And it always occurred to me, and I mean, I remember thinking this when I was a kid, that when there's less people on the either on the field or the ice, it's easier to score. So why not, when a game ends in a tie, start the overtime out? Each team has one player removed, so it's like they're both playing shorthanded.
They do that already.
No. Then every 4 minutes, if nobody scores, another man gets removed. So you start off, now you have a goalie and four guys.
It's just saying you're joking up the game just like a shootout. There's no difference.
Not necessarily, because you have four. And let's say that you did have to remove two guys from each team. Now you have, four guys skating around on the ice.
Yeah.
You still got four guys like competing like a team to see who can score first.
That's not competing though. That's diluting. That's not really competing. That makes the game a joke.
So you're saying 5-on-5 basketball, that's competing, but if I go out in the court and we play 3-on-3, that's not real basketball.
5-on-5 basketball, you have to understand, 5-on-5 basketball rarely will go into those kind of overtimes. So you're going to grind hockey players up if you have those overtimes.
If you play
to a win, you're going to grind. It's an 82-game season. Hockey, you grind guys up. The shootout's fine. Nothing wrong with the shootout. Game over with quickly. You think these guys are robots.
You're playing
a lot of overtime games, and you're going to grind teams up.
No. It wouldn't be that long, because if you're taking someone off every 4 minutes...
Those guys got to have to cover more ice. Of course you're grinding those guys up.
Right, but you're also going to get a goal much quicker because there's less congestion on the ice. For instance, let's take it to the extreme and say there was a goalie and each side had...
Yeah, I don't like it. Move on. What about your Sixer new roster?
The other thing I'm going to do is the analytics. I was going to talk a little baseball, but we'll move it over to basketball and kind of merge the two.
Uh-huh.
I think that there's this old school, new school thing about analytics, that if you criticize analytics, that means, you're just opposed to it 100% and you're old school and vice versa. Analytics is just statistics, and they've always had statistics. It's just now it's much more involved.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, when you base everything on analytics, the moment you start making all your decisions based on analytics, you create a new set of analytics. Like, for instance, if everybody decides that the way to go is to have positionless basketball, we need five guys that are all between 6'6" and 6'10" that can move all over the court and cover the threes, as you just correctly pointed out when you started out your show, if you go back to old school, let's pound it down low, like, for instance, the Lakers used to do in the old days with Shaq, you wouldn't have anyone that knows how to guard that, because they're all these skinny guys that are supposed to be wing defenders running around covering threes. And that's like something that would apply to the 76ers and Joel Embiid, because he's basically like Shaq if Shaq could shoot free throws.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Did I just read the Dostoevsky novel? It's the first call of the day?
That's what it was.
Maybe.
Jesus.
That was one call?
Yes, that was one call so far. I do have a hockey tweak. Overtime.
Go ahead.
What I would do is have no offsides. So what it allows you to do is maybe you cherry pick, maybe you get burnt cherry picking, maybe you don't, but that's what I would do. And I think that would open up ice, because if a team chose to have a guy close to the net, you would have to have a defender. So that's a way to open up the ice without grinding up guys more. I would take away the offside. So if a guy wants to literally be up by the goal, you put somebody up there, it spreads out the ice more. I think you get more goals and less shootouts. Same amount of time.
So you're going to have a guy cherry pick at the other end, and the defender has to go down there anyway. What's interesting about that?
What it does is it opens the ice more. You're more likely to get shots on goal, because I don't want the shootout. The shootout is Mickey Mouse. I don't like it.
The shootout's great.
It's not great.
Yeah, it is.
It's not a way to decide who wins.
Here's the thing about hockey. There's more of a chance a hockey game's going to go into overtime. So you got to end them.
Right.
You can't fiddle faddle.
And I'm ending
you
them.
End them.
In overtime,
most likely, that could go on for 15 minutes.
No, it would go the same amount of time now. I would still go to the shootout. I'm trying to avoid the shootout, so it's a tweak. I'm tweaking.
The overtime anyway.
Right, but now I'm actually increasing the chance of an actual goal in the overtime, which is what I want, because I don't want a shootout because they're stupid. Shootouts are terrible.
No, they're not.
They're terrible in soccer, too. They're terrible.
They're fine.
They're not fine.
It's mano a mano.
Not.
It's a team game that suddenly becomes a goalie. There's nothing wrong with that. Tim in Elkins Park. Tim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tim?
How's it going, Mike?
What's going on, buddy?
Nothing. I just wanted to call because I'm going to blow my gasket if I hear one more person call in and ask us to trade for Russell Westbrook. I would not take Russell Westbrook if all it took was a second-round pick.
Well, who's saying that?
A couple guys on the last
callers on the midday show have been saying that?
Yeah, I've been on hold since then.
Yeah, there's no reason for that.
Yeah, I mean, he's the most overrated player in the league.
He's just a ball-dominant player. I mean, why would you want that at this point, the way you set up your team with a ready ball-dominant guard?
Right, and he's not a winner. I mean, even if we didn't have the team we had, if we were in a rebuild and we're looking for a superstar, I wouldn't want him. If you look at the usage...
No, you know what it is. It's a name, and the untrained eye goes, oh, you got a chance to get a great player. You might as well get him. You know, everybody has but those one. It's big eyes and a small stomach.
Right, and they look at the stats, and they say, ooh, triple-double, 30 points a game, exactly. Not knowing that he's the most inefficient player in the league.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically, I just, you know, I'm sick of hearing his name brought up. And
I got you. You know, their roster's all set.
Yeah, we're good to go.
All right. You got
all right, have a good one.
Russell Westbrook. No, I didn't even think about that. They were saying a lot of callers were wanting what, Russell Westbrook?
And even suggesting trading Ben Simmons to get him.
Come on.
A good amount.
You don't need that.
Of course not.
No.
I want him to go to Miami. I want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would love it.
All right. So Kyle Korver is going to be released today.
Yeah, he's on waivers. Once he clears waivers, apparently he is, according to Woj, just three teams.
Three teams. Sixers are one of them.
Lakers, Bucks, Sixers. He's played with LeBron.
Lakers, Bucks, Sixers.
Started here. I don't think they'll, and the Bucks are a good team where he would get minutes. So all three make some sense. But do you really want to go to Milwaukee? I think it's LA or Sixers.
All right. So if Korver is on the roster, because I have the roster right here. You tell me who's out on the 12. You got your starting five, beat Ben, Tobias, Richardson, Horford. Bench, Scott, Ennis, Zaire, Shake, Thibault, Neto, O'Quinn. Who's out? Who's in street clothes?
They'll start the season with Neto in street clothes. And if Shake fails, Shake will quickly be in street clothes and Neto will then play. That's what they'll do.
So Korver will play right now for Neto.
To start, because Shake will be the backup. They'll get him first check.
And if Shake fails,
Neto in.
There'll be another club Tyrone casualty.
Yep, and Shake back.
But Korver will take his spot.
Yep, and Shake is in the street clothes. Because those other guys are all vets. And then you don't want to put.
Well, wait a minute. I forgot Bolden.
Bolden.
He's
already in street clothes.
I forgot Bolden.
He's already street clothes. Because O'Quinn's going to play.
Scott Ennis, Bolden, Zaire, Shake, Thibault, Neto, O'Quinn.
Yeah,
that's 13.
Yeah, so Bolden's already in street clothes.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they put O'Quinn in street clothes sometimes,
too. You giving up on him?
I'm not giving up on him. I'm just saying, look at the guys in front of him. Scott's a must guy. You got guys you know. Ennis, you know what you get from Ennis. You got to see what's up with Thibault, who is moving up the ranks. And Zaire is now number two spot in Club Tyrone.
You know, it's funny because I'll be retired. I'll be on some winery, and I'll tune you in. It'll be your show, and you'll be gone. Well, I think we got to give Jonah one more year.
I'm not quitting.
Let's go to Ryland in Horsham. Ryland, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryland.
Hi, hey Mike. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thanks, buddy.
I just had a question. I was listening to you guys the other day, and you guys were talking about who should close for the Sixers.
Yeah, who's going to take the shot when they need it?
Yeah, I think that if not Tobias Harris, we should look at Raul Neto.
Yeah, that's foolish. Why now? Why are you calling to try to tweak me? Why are you doing that? Why do you have enough time to make a phony phone call?
No.
Yeah, it's a stupid thing to say.
Raul Neto should close.
Yeah, it's a stupid thing to say. Why are you trying to make a fool of yourself? Are you got your friends around? You're saying?
No.
All right. Take it up the street, and then we'll talk. Spida in South Philly. You're a 97.5 The Fanatic. Spida.
No, they didn't give me a fool,
Yo, Spida. Oh, we're off to a rousing start. Spider, are you in a combo with somebody? Spider?
No.
Yo, Holmes.
Oh, won't see him no
Spider!
More.
Spider! I'm giving you a chance.
Is he at the drive-thru?
Spider!
I mean, if you want,
I'll put him on hold because I still want to get back to him. Yeah, people are on hold. What are they? They know we're going to come to them, right?
And I know for a fact that the screener says, keep your radio or TV down. Get to you shortly.
He was in a conversation with somebody.
Maybe he got caught off guard. Ran into somebody. Hello.
Okay. Does he want to go back to him? All right. Spider, you there? Yeah, Spider. Dude. All right, you're out. He's out. Mike and Del Ram. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Maybe he thought there was another spider lady.
I don't know.
Phone lines are on fire today, Mike.
Yes, they are.
Listen, your little fender bender is exactly why we in New Jersey, as you know, have these things called jug handles that everybody hates.
Yeah.
That eliminates that blind left turn.
Yeah. The blind left turn is a dangerous thing.
Very dangerous. I've watched a lot of life lost in a blind left turn like that. Yeah. Terrible. So I got one football and one basketball tweet for you, Mike.
Yes.
Football first is get rid of the sudden the overtime where, you know, everyone gets at least one possession, and then go to college rule where touchdowns and 2-point conversions. I love the college playoff rule. I watched in the college football. I think that would work in the NFL. I want to see that. But my
let's look at the game itself. What, like, forget the overtime, the post game stuff. What about the game would you like to see tweaked?
So here's my basketball tweak about the game.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you with 3-pointers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you like the corner three, then what I would do is instead, like, I was going to say move the 3-point line back and eliminate the corner three, but forget that. Eliminate the 3-point line completely and have 5 3-point circles. Right? One in each corner, one on each wing, and one at the top of the key. Maybe that circle's, 3 feet diameter, whatever, so a glare can get in there.
Yeah, that makes it a skills contest.
Well, yeah. Maybe so.
All you got to do is defend the circle. Get 3-point shots coming off good ball movement. If you know exactly where they have to shoot it, you're going to gang up on that spot.
Right, or you get the dribble step back that James Harden does and everyone's doing at that circle, right? Or you're developing plays where you're doing the pick and roll or the dribble handoff out near that circle.
Nah.
If you want a 3-point that bad enough, that's what you're going to have to do. What you're trying to say is you want to see it more in the post than in the game. And by doing that, you still have the
I don't care one way or the other. I love 3-point shots. As far as I'm concerned, you can take 40 a game. I'm just trying to appease the people that think there's too many 3-point shots in there. All right, so here it is. Limit it to 15. This way, strategically, you have to save a few for the fourth quarter.
If you limit it to 15, though, what do you do when someone Chris Webber's it and shoots a 16th one that goes in? Doesn't count?
No.
It would count as
two. It wouldn't count as three.
That 15 is way too low, Mike.
All right, then 18.
18?
How many do they take a game now? How many would NBA teams average?
I think they're averaging closer to, like, some teams are taking 30 a game.
Some teams are. But what's the average?
I mean, the Sixers took a lot, too. I'll look it up, but that number's too low.
All right, 20 then. Let's go to 20. This way, strategy is now involved. You've got to say, it's like timeouts. You got to save a few for the fourth quarter.
Well, now that the NBA...
So you got to then work the post a little bit more.
Now I have my two NBA tweaks.
Uh-huh.
One, I would only have one timeout per quarter. More on the players, less on the coach. You get one per quarter, including the fourth quarter. So it's going to be tougher. The players got to play. And my other one is... I saw each arena can pick the distance of the 3-point line.
I see you're
like baseball.
You're joking it off.
No, that's like baseball. Baseball doesn't have a uniform home run. Something in left field in one park would go out in Citizens Bank Park. It wouldn't go out in another park.
Junk the game.
That
up.
Doesn't junk the game up. Keep that's game baseball. That's same. Americana. That's apple pie.
Baseball is different. Baseball is on its own little island.
If I'm the Warriors, I move the line back because my guys can make it and you can't, so that's an advantage when I'm home. If you don't have as good a shooting team, you move the line in. It's based on your home arena, just like a home run is in your home arena.
The 3-point line stays the same distance. You just limit the amount you can take in a game, and that brings a different level of strategy into the game. You can use up your 20 in the first half. Guess what? The other team takes advantage of that in the second half. They saved their threes in the second half. It's not junking up the game. It's not moving lines. It's not like pop a shot.
Just so you know, the team that took the fewest amount of 3-pointers per game last year took 25 in a game, per game. The Sixers took 30. The Nets took 36.
Right.
The Rockets took 45.
I'm reducing it
to appeal to the people who want more post play,
so
who are sick of looking at dribble drive kick out play. I'm making the game better, Tyron. This is what I'm all about, making the game better.
I think you're doing
not
this on
moving
purpose.
The line in your home arena or taking it. What's wrong with timeouts? Those guys are tired. They're running up and down the floor. What's wrong with a timeout? How could you be anti-timeout?
You go. That's when you got to use your bench and your sub if they're tired. Your sub if they're tired.
What is it? Timeouts. Take a timeout away.
Let's go.
These guys deserve a rest. Somebody's gassed. Timeout. Embiid's gassed. You want a timeout for him?
There we go. Got to sub in. All right, Jonah. Here you go. Couple minutes.
Stop it. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli shows on 97.5 Fanatic NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
.247 Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. And we keep Pompey's coming on at 3 o'clock. So we're going to start 3 o'clock hour. 3:30, I'm sorry. So we're going to start the 3 o'clock hour with a list of these starting lineups that we've assembled on all the teams that will be contenders next year. And you can, you know, kind of judge for yourself whether the Sixers have one of the top three teams in there. 610-632-0975. All right, so there's always somebody who wants to tweak baseball. Always. Consistently. Let me read this. You tell me if this is one of the most ridiculous emails that you've ever heard. All right, so this guy, I'm going to put your first name out here, bro. He says, why does MLB restricted stars to waiting for 8 other batters to hit before the other guy's allowed to take an at-bat? In other words, why should fans have to wait about an hour to see their star player come back up to the plate? Why not get rid of lineups completely? If Gabe wanted Bryce to bat second every inning, then trot him up there every inning as the second batter. In fact, I would say a player can bat as often as he wants. If he gets a double, let someone else run for him after he reaches second. So the rule, batters can bat as often as they want, and if they reach base, a pinch runner can run for him. Now, how do you respond to something like that?
This wouldn't be baseball anymore.
This is a serious email now. Bryce Harper, 1,200 at-bats, next closest guy, 93.
Right. Like, he would get tired at some point or get
Come
hit
on,
by a
man.
Pitch.
It's a team. People get, you know, everybody contributes. You know,
was that
phone.
Another joke?
No, it's really, then he goes on to analyze. Here's a couple things that might happen. Pitchers wouldn't attempt to hit or walk batters because once the batter reaches base, a pinch runner can come on and the batter can go back to the plate.
He's not serious.
He's dead serious. Two, the shifts would die because hitters like Bryce could lay down a bunt to third, reach base safely, then go back up to hit again.
He got that off of like a Looney Tunes episode or something where like Bugs and Daffy are doing that, running around the bases.
Fans would get to see the players they want to see. The fans really want to see Scott Kingery and Cesar Hernandez get 3+ plate appearances.
But I kind of do want, that's part of the game. And that also works for your pitcher. You want to get to the bottom of the order. That's part of the game.
See, this is why people should stay away from analyzing baseball and leave it alone. Because then you get idiots like this guy here who want to tweak it to this extent. Baseball, here it is. Here's the line. Baseball is a dying game and they need to do something drastic to save it.
We'll see.
Come on, bro.
I do have a question. It's not a tweet for baseball.
Uh-huh.
You can just tell me crazy or not crazy.
Uh-huh.
Once per game, at the manager's discretion, you can run for a person in the game, and that person's allowed to go back in the game. Is that crazy or not? So you can do it in the first thing if it's a high leverage situation. You can do it in the ninth. So one time you can run Quinn for Harper, and Harper would be allowed to come in once per game.
You're making baseball a rec league.
It's not a rec league. I'm asking if it's crazy. It's crazy.
It stands the test of time, and you want to like joke it up with like 14-year-old league.
That's not a joke. That now makes a speed guy really, really important.
The player can go back into the lineup because we want everybody to play. You're making 14-year-olds.
No, not do it. That's one time. It's strategy. You talk about strategy. That's strategy. You got to put him in. Fast runner. You put him in that one time, but you don't have him later. What do you do?
This baseball thing's chapping my hide, man.
It is.
I'll tell you right now. Let's go to Harry and Cape May. Harry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey. Harry.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Harry?
I tried to get through on Friday. I couldn't. But I listened to your comments about, you know, the NFL and NBA popularity, and I was very interested when you said about mothers making their kids play soccer. Mm-hmm. And I had a neighbor who was a retired doctor from Carnegie Mellon, mm-hmm. and he was involved in the concussion protocol and things like that.
Right.
And it was surprising. He said more of these kids get concussions, neck and head injuries playing soccer from getting kicked in the head with the ball, butting heads with people, petting the ball, and things like that. And if you watch the World Cup, I mean, it was like, oh my God, like, you know, three times a game we saw somebody just laid out on the field that they banged heads together and got knocked out and were injured. And all these mothers say, oh, I don't want my kid to play football. He's going to play soccer. And these young kids, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever years old, that their skulls...
Yeah, but I, a lot of leagues are actually eliminating headers for that reason. But still, it's inherently safer than playing football where you get banged on every play. So that, well, I mean, it's still a safe way for parents to go with their kids. They're not going to get; they're less likely to get injured in soccer than they would in football.
I don't know. A fast soccer ball to the head. You're not getting hit in the head in football every play.
A soccer ball to the head's not going to hurt you that much. If you bang heads in an attempt to head the ball, that's where the danger is.
Well, I'm just going by, you know, so this guy just basically said more kids get head injuries from...
Yeah, I think that guy's state facts are wrong, to be honest with you.
This is also a different mentality. In football, the issue is sometimes a kid, and there are still some of those old school coaches that say, oh, you got your bell rung. They don't report as a concussion. A soccer kid, when they get hit in the head, they go to the hospital. So that's the other part. There's tons of concussions in all levels, little league, high school, college, and still NFL that aren't reported.
But in general, parents are going to, like, if they want their kid to be safer and not put on pads and have collisions, they're going to go to soccer.
Yeah, when they're younger.
Yeah, well, and also you're taught to properly head the ball.
And a lot of leagues at a certain age, you're not allowed to go up for a header. You can use your body and everything. Uh-huh. No header.
That's a newer rule.
That's a newer rule that they did. Just like some kids in baseball now in the infield have to wear helmets. Mm-hmm. Like in defense, they used to not because of line, and they have to wear a chest pad because of the line drives to the chest. Yeah. A lot of baseball people are putting that in too for the younger kids so that it's safer until they get older. You take that stuff off.
They're wearing helmets in youth leagues now?
In certain towns, and a chest protector because there have been, it's rare, but a kid takes a line
chest
drive off.
Chest protector.
Yeah, there was a kid who took a line drive off the chest and his heart stopped. Seriously.
Was it a pitcher?
Yeah.
A pitcher has a pitch with a chest protector?
In some leagues, not all. That it's out there, and they have to wear the helmet in the field if you're a pitcher because you get hit with the line drive. I'm not saying it's everywhere, but that is a rule at some places now. You're clearly very against that.
A helmet and a chest protector.
I think it's overly cautious to put a chest protector on an infielder or a pitcher.
I'm just a messenger.
I mean, you know, if you don't have those kind of skills, you play the outfield. Better athletes will play the infield. Like short and second.
Well, little Skippy thinks that he can play the infield, you know?
Little Skippy's mommy thinks that he can play the infield. Little Skippy has to be judged by his coach.
Well.
And they have to go, well, listen, it's not safe for your kid to play because he's a spaz. No, he is.
Imagine telling someone.
610-632.
1-800-919-0975. Keith Pompey joining us at 3:30. We'll talk some Sixers. We'll go over some lineups as we start the hour. It is the Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.